Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we're back! Yeah, man. We're in the last, it's hard to believe, we're in the last. I mean, it's a long show. It's a long show, but it has flown. Marty McGee's usually done at 3 hours, so I thought we were supposed to do the Hillbilly headlines would be done just a second ago. Yeah, we are in the fourth quarter. There you go. Throw up the four. There you go. That's it. All right, so thanks to JK, by the way, for the lines are loaded. We'll get some of those again at the bottom of the hour. But before we do that, I promised it at the top of the show. My producer Mark had a great idea. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, we should do that. And I joked, but I did co-write this book a year ago, Sidelines and Bloodlines, A Father, His Sons, and Our Life in College Football. If you're looking on TV, that's me. That's my brother. And then the guy in the middle with the black and white stripes on, that's my father, Dr. Jerry McGee, refereed more than 400 games, 36 years, 20 bowl games, a couple Rose Bowls, a couple Army-Navy games. I mean, he did it all, man. And he joins us now. Pops, how we doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm good. It's been an interesting afternoon here on the show.
I'm sure of that. No hillbilly headlines, though, right?
No, not yet. But we've had some hillbilly headline calls. Yeah. We had one guy said he's never been in hillbilly. Bubba from North Carolina said he's never been in hillbilly headlines because he's never been caught. So that's close. So you're in Raleigh, North Carolina, right now. Hometown number 3 for me. Why are you in Raleigh today?
Well, I'm enjoying my current assignment as president of the board of the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame. And we have our big induction gala tomorrow evening. And I'm looking forward to inducting 11 new members into the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame.
There you go. And you got some good football names in there, right?
Oh, man, there's some really good football guys. We have Torrey Holt coming in. Torrey, of course, played for NC State. 11 years in the NFL, then the College Football Hall of Fame. The last time I looked, he was one of the top 10 receivers in the history of the NFL in terms of receiving yards. We got Timmy Newsom, who's a North Carolina guy who played a decade. He was the fullback for the Dallas Cowboys, Pro Bowler. He should have been in a long time ago. And we got Sam Mills going in. Sam, of course, is an NFL Hall of Famer, played for the New Orleans Saints and later the Carolina Panthers and stayed in coach with the Panthers. So we got, out of our 11 inductees this year, we've got 3 football players.
Sam Mills, one of my all-time favorite people. When the Panthers were making their improbable Super Bowl run in the late 90s, I remember Sam Mills, he just show up in grocery stores and stuff, shaking hands. He's just a good guy. What is it like for, and folks don't know, I mean, Dad is a member. He was inducted into the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame a few years ago. What's it like for you at these dinners, particularly when you get to see the guys like Mack Brown that you shared so many sidelines with so many years as a referee?
Yeah, we put Mack in the Hall of Fame last year, and I was joking with him about if I'd made 2 or 3 calls that went against him, he might not have been in the Hall of Fame. but anyway, when I come to this event, it's like the little boy in me reappears because we have legendary athletes from North Carolina that I've admired my entire life. And I look around the room and I see people like Ned Jarrett, who's one of the great pioneers of auto racing, Roy Williams, who coached a little basketball over Carolina. We're hoping Coach K is going to be with us this year. Maybe he's not quite as busy as he's been in the past, but getting to spend time with Trot Nixon, who helped lead the Red Sox to the 2004 World Series. Just being around those people is very special, and I have to kind of pinch myself to make sure that it's really going on.
Well, we're going to keep you on the show for a couple segments, and I want to get to some football stories. In fact, I already got a couple questions from a caller earlier in the show. But I wanted to ask you, and I'll explain this to everyone. Dad was president of a Division II school in NCAA for a couple decades and served on a lot of committees. It was on the president's council. In fact, that's how my family got to know Greg Sankey. Was Dad, you were on a NCAA committee with him back in the day. You've worked at the FCS level. You've worked at the Division II level. You've been in the committees with, you know, the chancellors of Ohio State and Notre Dame and everywhere else. The NCAA, what do you think its role is going to be in the future as someone who's sat in these committees all these years?
Well, if there is an NCAA, it will be very different. I think my biggest concern about what's going on right now with the universities and colleges and the NCAA, there's such an adversarial relationship. And any kind of relationship, a spousal relationship, any kind of family relationship, professional relationship, there has to be trust. And it seems that the trust has been lost between the NCAA and the people that it is supposed to be overseeing. And I think it begins with a lot of confusion that the average person has no idea about how it all operates. The NCAA basically enforces legislation passed by the presidents of the very institutions that they're overseeing. And when we think about the NCAA and being a Division I official and that sort of thing, I think about the 350 Division I schools in America. But what we don't think about very often is there's also 310 Division II schools, and that's schools who give athletic scholarships, but a lot less scholarships than Division I gives. And then there's close to 450 Division III schools, and they don't give any athletic scholarships, but they sponsor athletics. So here you've got nearly a half a million kids involved. You've got schools with 600 students, and you've got schools with 50,000 students. You got schools that cost $80,000 to attend. You got schools that are free. And trying to administer rules that are fair to everybody is very, very difficult for all concerned. But I just think maybe there has to be a new organization or a new way out of this for everybody. I just don't, with the loss of trust, I just don't know that those bonds can be real built.
Is that the most misunderstood aspect of the NCAA? Because I've always argued that it is, which is, like, I think Mark Emmert knows his job is to be the scapegoat. And the NCAA knows their job is that, you know, they enforce the rules that are written in the room. When it comes to football rules, they're written by coaches. When it comes to, you know, administrative rules, they're written by, you know, chancellors and athletic directors and whoever else. Is that the misunderstood part of it is the NCAA is just enforcing what the membership said? But to me, that's why it'll always exist in some form, because you can point out them as the bad guy. There has to be a scapegoat to take away from maybe what you shouldn't have been doing.
Yeah, well, it might not be called the NCAA.
Yeah.
But I think there has to be some group that oversees collegiate sports. It is not the U.S. Congress, I might add. I don't think that we want to get them involved, but you know, when you're an athletic director of a college university, I promise you that athletic director cares about every student athlete in America. However, their responsibilities are to care for the 500 athletes at their school. So they've always got to make decisions that kind of protect their institution and their students while looking, trying to be fair to everyone. And it's a very, very difficult balance. I think it might be time for something like the Knight Commission again, or maybe give this job to what's left of the Knight Commission, to look at how to govern college sports going forward. I think when everybody started talking about college athletes needing a little money to spend on the weekends and all, I don't think anybody disagreed with that. But I don't think when that all started that anybody thought about the fact that we were going to have 18-year-olds who were multimillionaires before they take a snap in college football. I don't think that's where we intended to go, but that's kind of where we wound up. And I think when we started talking about the transfer portal, I think we thought, you know, if a guy's a pretty good player at one school, but he can't get any playing time, maybe he should be able to transfer to another school. I don't think we thought that was going to be 1,300 students a year trying to transfer. So I think there has to be some organization that oversees all this, or we're just going to have chaos, as some of our top coaches in America have been saying for the last month, that we're having chaos and somebody needs to be in charge.
Yeah, and even the guys who run the biggest programs that benefit from that, they say maybe that's not the thing. Hey, can you stick around for a segment? Because I want to get into some sideline stories with you.
Oh, sure thing.
Okay, there you go. It's Paul Feinbaum Show. It's the McGee reunion. Dr. Jerry McGee, my dad, when he comes back, he's going to tell you about some of these pictures in our book about him getting yelled at and what's the story behind that.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
It's the Paul Feinbaum Show. Ryan McGee sitting in for Paul today. He's off pulling down some coin, right?
That's right.
At a speaking engagement, and so I'm here, and we're joined by my father, Dr. Jerry McGee, a longtime college administrator, but also a longtime college football official. And we talked about the NCAA and the future of it in the last segment. In this segment, Dad, a lot of Georgia fans have been calling in today, and a lot of Georgia fans are on hold. And I want you to tell them the story about the legendary Georgia defensive coordinator, Irk Russell, who, you know, the Junkyard Dogs and head-butted guys, and of course was the defensive coordinator on the legendary national championship team with Herschel Walker. But when he was the head coach at Georgia Southern, where he won national championships at the FCS 1AA level, what was it that happened with you and Irk Russell down there at Georgia Southern?
Well, first of all, we really enjoyed going to Georgia Southern and working a game occasionally. We were working in the Big East and the ACC. If you had a week off, you'd go work in a different league, and we'd go work for Irk. And one day we were in the locker room doing our pregame, and we talked about everything, you know, all we could talk about for an hour and a half about the game and that sort of stuff. And then we realized somebody was in the restroom in the corner of the room where we were, and out walked Irk Russell. I hate to bother you guys. Irk Russell had been sitting in there listening to our pregame. Now, I have no idea why he was interested in our pregame, but he literally sat in there for at least an hour and listened to our pregame. So the next year, I went back down to work again. And we went in, and we got all ready to start our pregame. And I looked around. Sure enough, I could see 2 feet back there in a stall. And I just motioned for the other guys, and we walked out. And they had given me a key and a lock so we could lock our dressing room when we went to officiate the game. So we locked the door from the outside and left and went out to the field and walked around for about 20 or 30 minutes and looked at the field and talked and everything. And we came back and opened the door. And of course we had locked Coach Russell in the bathroom. And that never happened again. Every time I went to Georgia Southern after that, Coach Russell was always outside. He never came in our locker room again. So we had a little fun with it.
He was spying. He was spying on the refs.
We asked Coach Dooley about that. We said, Coach, do you really think Irk Russell would hide out and spy on us? And he said, absolutely.
Yeah. There you go. He was hiding in the bathroom getting secret intel from the officials. My dad, Dr. Jerry McGee, joining us now. He worked over 400 games on the field in the ACC and the Big East. Worked a ton of games in the SEC because back in the day, they do split crews. Or, if an ACC school was visiting an SEC school, they would bring, there. That's how I ended up at Tennessee as a student. Dad had a game, Duke at Tennessee, and I went to the game, wasn't even thinking about Tennessee, and we took the tour that morning, and that's how I ended up, as a student there. And that's that brings me to, everyone knows I love Johnny Majors. When you went to the Big East, Coach Majors was at Pittsburgh, and you had an unfortunate incident where you got hit pretty hard on the sideline of a game up there with Coach Majors. And I always love that story because Coach tried to check on you and you weren't ready to get checked in on, were you?
Yeah, it was a game at Louisville, Pittsburgh at Louisville. And he had a big running back named Billy West. And they threw Billy a little flare pass out on my side. He came down the sideline and I zigged when I should have zagged, and somebody pushed him, and he came out of bounds, and his helmet hit me right in the left side of my face and my neck. And I literally think I might have been in the air for 10, 12 feet before I hit the ground.
Yeah.
And there was some blood involved and a big knot on the side of my head and that sort of stuff. But I bounced right up, I'm going to be fine, and put my hat on and went back to officiating. And I went on to officiate the rest of the game. And so a few weeks later, I had Coach Majors again, and he said, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I think I'm fine. I said, why? He said, because after you got hit the other day at Louisville, none of your answers fit my questions. Because I said, Jerry, is it third down or fourth down? And you said, I don't know, Coach. I'm going to Penn State next week. And for the rest of the game, I guess I obviously had a concussion, but for the rest of the game, he said that no matter what he said to me, that I just stare at him and give him some strange answer. So I told him, I said, well, I've been giving coaches strange answers on the field for a long time. But anyway, it was a pretty bad lick. And you think about it, 400 games, 160 plays a game. It's a wonder it didn't happen a lot more often, but that was the worst one ever among about five or six pretty good licks I got over the years, but I guess I was pretty fortunate.
Well, I thought about that, and I talked about this earlier in the show. When I was out at midfield running around with Shane Beamer during the South Carolina spring game on Saturday, I was talking about the fact, and when I officiated, when I was a guest official for the South Carolina spring game a few years ago, as many games as I went with you and stood on the sideline, I did not understand the difference between being on this side of the sideline and being on that side of the sideline. And then being out in the middle of the field, like a referee or a center judge on a crew with Shane Beamer, it didn't feel safe. And I don't think I appreciated that until I had to dodge, a quarterback getting knocked down.
Yeah, there's people flying around pretty good. I was interviewed my last year as an official, Furman Bisher down to in the Atlanta Constitution interviewed me, and we were talking. He said, Jerry, have you ever gotten hurt officiating? And I said, nothing serious. I said, I had a cracked sternum and a concussion and a broken ankle, but other than that, I did pretty well. He said, well, dear God, what would you consider serious? I said, I don't know, compound fracture or something maybe, but you're going to get bumped around a little bit out there. You just hope you can get up.
You're the only one out there without pads on. That's what I was reminding everybody. There's three teams on the field, and only one of them's not wearing pads, and those are the guys in the stripes. All right, so I want to ask you this. I was on the field, like I said, for the South Carolina spring game. I'm talking to my dad, Dr. Jerry McGee, longtime college football official, and I was talking to the SEC crew that was working the game, and two or three guys mentioned our book, and one of the guys said, man, what's the story on Billy Tees? And all these SEC officials want to hear you. So you worked a game at Auburn with, to me, the greatest legend that we wrote about in the book. Who is Billy Tees?
Yeah, well, that was a good question. When we had our meeting, back then we had seven officials. We had four from the Southeast Conference and three from the ACC, and we met 5 or 6 hours before the game at the hotel to do our pregame, and there wasn't a back judge. And being a downfield guy, I kept saying, well, where's the back judge? And they said, oh, well, that's Billy Tees. He'll be around there in a little bit. So we go through the whole pregame, and there's no Billy Tees and no back judge. And we put on our officiating costumes, and they take us to the game in a van, and we get to the stadium, and we go in the locker room, and still no back judge. And I said, guys, but where's the back judge? And the Southeast Conference guys were really laughing. I thought it was pretty funny. And they said, he'll be around. And I walked out on the field. A lot of times we go out and kind of do a little field inspection when we get there. And there was a guy standing at the goalpost, kind of had 1 foot on the goalpost and 1 foot on the ground, had an officiating uniform, smoking a cigarette. And I thought, I punched one of my ACC buddies and said, look over here, we got an imposter. This guy's dressed like an official. And all of a sudden, one of the officials came out and said, hey, Billy Tees. It was the missing back judge.
Billy Tees.
He didn't come to any of the meetings. He didn't participate in anything. When we kicked off, he worked the game. When the game was over, we jumped in the van, headed back to the hotel, never saw Billy Tees again. but during the game, Billy Tees officiated. And he was right where he was supposed to be and did what he didn't say much, but did what he was supposed to do. But it was one strange, one bizarre. I'm thinking, we got to work this game with six people. How in the world are we going to work a football game with six people? But anyway, that was my only opportunity to work with Billy Tees. I worked with a lot of great officials in the Southeast Conference, but I never saw Billy Tees again.
He's like the man with no name. He's like Clint Eastwood. He just rode in and worked the deal. Hey, we get you out of here on this last question. So, you know, in our book, we have a lot of photos, and I always joke about the wall of screaming, you know, pictures, not that many pictures, you getting yelled at by coaches. And all the Alabama fans always ask about the picture of Mike Shula laying into you. This was in the Birmingham News the day after the game. What's the story behind you and the current, well, he's quarterback's coach with the Denver Broncos. What's the story about you and Shula right here?
I think he might have been reminding me to make sure I went to Dreamland Barbecue before I went home. No, I think that there was a pass interference call that maybe he and I had different angles on. And I thought it was pass interference, and I think he did not think it was pass interference. And, yeah, you know, it's pretty loud. The funny thing about all that, was when the picture was in the paper the next day, it was the first time I knew that Coach Shula was even there. I didn't know he was right behind me yelling. I didn't pay any attention, but I saw that picture. He looked like he was about ready to bite my ear. He was up pretty close and personal.
That's the best part. The best part is you're just filling out. So folks that don't know, the officials keep track of penalties called in the game on those little cards. You'll see them after penalty right now. So you're just looking at the scoreboard, filling out your penalty card, and you're not even you're like, check out work I got it too.
I had no idea. I've got several of those over the years. Coach Morrison at South Carolina back in the day at a Clemson game, and his picture showed up on the front of the Columbia newspaper, and the caption said, Coach Morrison explained his point of view to a less than interested official. I didn't know Coach Morrison was there. Yeah. You know, so you kind of blank all that stuff out. You're just trying to do your job.
You're focused.
But anyway, you know, they probably should have yelled at me more often.
Yeah, there you go. You're focused. All right, and you'll be focused over the next 24 hours or so on the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame induction. Have a good time, and thank you for making time for us today.
Oh, this is the greatest weekend of the year when we do this banquet, and I've enjoyed being with you guys. Thanks.
There you go. Thanks, Dad. There you go. Pops. Dr. Jerry McGee worked 404 games, college football games, over 36 years. His first game was at Guilford up in North Carolina in front of about 100 people. And his last game was the 2009 BCS championship game. It was Sam Bradford and Tim Tebow. About 30 million people watching on TV. Yeah. So his first college game, there might have been 100 people in the stands. And his last college game, it was Tebow's national championship. So there you go. And wow. And people ask why I love college football. The reason I love college football, obviously because of where I grew up, but I had my first sideline credentials when I was 12. Got slobber knockered up at Virginia. Carolina-Virginia game. Got run over by Micah Moon, linebacker from North Carolina. And I thought it was the coolest thing that ever happened. And I was like, all these people on the sideline are getting paid to be here today. How do you get in on that gig? And don't tell anybody, but they're still paying me to go to college football games. So there you go. All right, we got a half hour to go. If you want to get in on the show, call 855-242-7285. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show. And there you go. There's Dad getting screamed at by Alabama coaching legend Mike Shula.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. White flag is, well, the white flag's not quite out, but we're getting close. For you non-race fans, that means that white flag is the last lap. This is not the last lap. It's the next to last lap, right?
We're about to get a two-minute warning.
Legend is on the line. Legend, what's going on, son?
Marty and McGee. What's up, dude?
How you doing?
I'm all right, man. I got a question for you, seriously.
Okay.
How you put up with McGee?
Well, I'm McGee, so I put
up with... Oh, well, how you put up with Marty then? That's
yeah.
I get y'all mixed up. How you put up with Marty?
Yeah. This is what we do. This is how it works. No, so he's like, Marty is like... Any other friend. Marty's been a friend of mine for almost 20 years. And people ask all
the
time.
The dude looks like Adam Levine to me, man.
Okay.
He really does.
Yeah. No, that's fair. But you know, it's just like any other friend. We all got the friends, right? Where you know that friend's going to do this way and you're going to do that way. And you just kind of, it all fits together like a jigsaw puzzle. Yeah. But no, I put up with him. I feel like sometimes, as with any great friend, I do feel like sometimes we're kind of each other's psychiatrists. You know, we spend a lot of time on the phone together trying to solve problems for the other one. But, yeah, I put it with him all right.
Yeah, you need to tell him to wear a size 32 pants and get out of them 28 waist pants he
now,
got on.
Hey, I mean, now, to that point, I said, so Marty and Shane Beamer have been legit friends since they were like 15 years old. They played high school football against each other in Virginia. And I was standing out on the field, 50-yard line with Shane Beamer on Saturday night at South Carolina, and I had on a pair of new kind of slim fit pants that my wife got me. And I got a phone, I got a microphone pack, I got a thing for my earpiece, I got a wallet, I got a thing of hand sanitizer, and I couldn't put anything anywhere. I said to Shane, I go, how does Marty put stuff in his pockets with those tight pants on? Because I couldn't do it without, you know, without looking like a utility belt out there. But yeah, anyhow, you're right. But you put size 32 pants on Marty, they're not going to stay up.
All right, I got you. Hey, you know football, I give you credit on that. But when you look at that Alabama secondary, Kool-Aid, Eli Rick, Malachi Moore, and Jordan Battle back behind them, when was the last time Nick Saban had a secondary like that, brother?
It's been a minute. Yeah, Mink and them. But it's been a minute. And you know this, Saban he's never been harder on players other than the ones in the defensive backfield, the ones he wears out all the time. Like he will go down there.
Yeah.
I never want to be his defensive backs coach because and he was a DB. You know, that's where he made his bread and butter. So yeah, it is a good group. And they're gonna need it because everybody in the SEC is slinging it now.
Well, everybody in the SEC can sling it, but they can't reach that mountaintop, brother. They can't do it. Hey, you got this idiot that comes on the show, calls himself Bama hater. You know, I wouldn't be caught dead calling myself Clemson hater or Auburn hater or Georgia hater. I mean, I understand why he hates. You know, I've seen some of the best psychiatrists in the world, and they told me that anger is just suppressed memories. And his problem is he has suppressed that memory of that 92 championship. That made him hate. You know, Gina Toretta was never the same after that. He was supposed to be the number one pick in the draft, and he ended up getting picked in the sixth round by the Minnesota Vikings. And after the game, he said, there were 18 of them on the field. There was three George Teagues out there.
Oh, yeah.
That dude was never the same, and that's Bama haters' problem. Ever since we put that foot in that butt in New Orleans, he has never been the same. It's a suppressed memory, dude. Go see a psychiatrist. Get some help. Hey, McGee, give up Marty, dude. Give up Marty. Black hat out, dude.
All right, legend. You're the man. There you go. Hey. Taking it back to 92 with JK. I tell you this about that 92 team. I always remember I was a student at Tennessee, kind of showing my age here. But Tennessee was favored in the Alabama game, and Tennessee, it's late in the game. Tennessee's got the ball. Heath Shuler's quarterback, Heisman Trophy candidate. Here we go. And that Alabama defense was like Saran wrap. And I remember Shuler after the game looking at me, he goes, nobody's going to beat those guys. I'm like, Miami will beat him. He goes, no, they won't. Florida will beat him. No, they won't. And that's, you know, that's exactly how that went down. All right. We're going to do that. When they do this, that means you're supposed to take a break? Okay, we're going to do that, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to actually take the white flag. We're going to get to – it's going to be rapid-fire calls getting us to the finish line. Here on the Feinbaum Show, Handsome Joe, hang in there. Ronnie, hang in there. Reed, Barry, y'all hang in there.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
One last segment, the white flag is out here at Talladega Weekend, fittingly, on the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm Ryan McGee, sitting in for Paul. I'm not even going to give you the number because, first of all, it's on the TV screen. Second of all, you should know it by now. Third of all, the lines are loaded. We ain't going to get to all of them anyway.
That's right.
Larry from Shelby's on the line. Larry, what's up, my man?
Well,
I heard you talking about the defense, and I got you right about that, because there's three linebackers that's wicked, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And that running back came from Georgia Tech, 75 yards. Of course, Big 31 wasn't out there when he did it. But I think the problem is going to be on the offensive line. That's what I see. I mean, I don't know how you see it. I think receivers are okay. But I hope the two quarterbacks beside our Heisman, I hope they don't go in the portal, man. Both them guys are good.
Yeah,
number
man.
Two was pretty damn short. I mean, he's fast. So I don't know, man. So what do you think about the quarterbacks when I was talking about the portal? Wouldn't you hate to see one of them go?
Yeah, man. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I hung up on Larry. I apologize, Larry. I didn't mean to. I had my finger on the button. I did not mean to do that.
He's a legend.
But Larry, I apologize. I'm so sorry. But I got to tell y'all something. I'm a little out of practice. I hadn't been in this seat in, we said, summer of 2019. I used to do this all the time. I hadn't been in the seat in a long time. I used to be able to hear Larry, and it was fine. It's like when I lived in Connecticut. When I first moved up there, I couldn't understand anything I said. And then after a year, I kind of developed it, right? I could hear him. And then I moved away, and when I go back now, I can't understand anybody. And Larry, I apologize. I couldn't. I tried. Handsome Joe, what's going on, son?
Roll Tide, roll, Ryan McGee. And, hey, I got to tell you this, first and foremost, the best thing I've seen this year was when you had your daddy on today.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
It was good to see that side of the spectrum on the football field, and the service that he did. I wouldn't even want to do what he went through.
No, man, I feel that. Hey, honestly, it's why they're having a hard time recruiting young officials, because it's hard. You got to love it. But yeah, I appreciate that, man. I can't wait to tell him you said that.
And that's right. And as far as Shula, I mean, it ain't your daddy's fault that Shula didn't know how to coach a football team.
Yeah. Well,
don't yell at the official when you can't coach. I mean, that's
– Yeah.
That don't even make sense. But I'll try to make this quick. But for J.K. Bama Hater, all I can say is he's dumber than a frogless possum. I mean, he serves no purpose. And Jim in Tuscaloosa is nothing but Lucifer in the flesh and probably still wets the bed. But people – I heard calls yesterday, and people need to lay off Legend. I mean, they're only jealous because he won the Five Bomb Caller Show, which people voted on, and they're all jealous of Legend. And that's all it is. But I'm more excited about anything because it's Talladega weekend.
Yeah, man.
I mean, we get this weekend two times in the state of Alabama, and it's the biggest, baddest track there is. And it's going to be a good one, Ryan. It's going to be a good one. But, hey, I'll get off here. But, hey, yeah, tell your daddy. I appreciate that. And we got to get him back on. We got to get him back on, Ryan.
Hey, you got it.
But anyway, But I am a handsome one. Roll Tide, Ryan. Enjoy the show, brother.
He is the handsome one. Dude, I miss this so much. And when we just went from Larry, I had no idea what he said, and then we went to Handsome, and I know everything he said, and he's talking about wet in the bed. What was the frog and the frog and the possum or something?
Frog possum.
I can't even tell y'all how much I miss this. Yeah. No, it's – Larry's the man. Larry's I'm going to be – if y'all need to hear a good impersonation of Larry later, check in with me about 10:30. Is that
fair?
Yeah, is that fair? I think that's fair. All right, Fred, you there?
Yes, sir.
What's going on, man? I appreciate you holding so long.
Hey, yes, sir. My daughter at Campbell had a quick question.
Yeah.
Hey, my name's Campbell Harris. I live in Charleston, South Carolina. Where is Paul?
Hey, Ryan, yeah. I love you, man. You got to follow your stuff a lot, and you do a great job on the Fine Bomb Show, and hope you keep up the good work. Maybe one day there's going to be a McGee show.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you putting Campbell on there, too. Reminds me of my little girl. Yeah.
I had a question for you. Maybe I'll call back another time, but you gone.
Yeah, you got me? What's up?
You wrote an article about Texas and Oklahoma coming in the SEC.
Yeah.
And how it
paralleled NASCAR's expansion and how NASCAR failed with it. And, you know, I remember from the article that, you know, you were kind of worried about college football. And I know you don't have much time to talk about it, but that's what I was really going to ask you.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you bringing it up because I've thought about it a lot, you know, over the last week. You know, and my dad mentioned it. The coaches, I mean, it's been Nick Saban and Kirby Smart and Dabo had the ones that are all of a sudden this week got real concerns about, you know, NIL and transfer portal. And what I go back to was it was comments from Nick Saban about, you know, be careful about changing too much all at once because it's easy to make a lot of changes when things are going great and you're making a lot of money. And that's what happened to NASCAR. I worked there. They made a lot of really bad decisions, and it didn't matter because they were still making money. And then one day they woke up, and it plateaued, and things dipped a little bit, and they left their fan base. And so that's what I worry about college football. I really do.
I do,
and Nick Saban does too. And that's what I wrote. I appreciate you remember that column.
All right. Appreciate you taking the call.
All right, buddy. Tell Campbell I said thank you. There you go, man. I apologize I couldn't get there, buddy, especially Barry from Virginia wanted to talk to Raymond McGee. We actually had a lot of people want to talk to Raymond McGee. And you know what? I'll pass y'all's well wishes on to Raymond. And
tonight after a couple,
and I'm talking to myself. I've always late at night, I get like Larry and I've been made a little overserved and I start talking to myself. I never had another name. Like when I talk to myself in the basement now, Raymond. Raymond, what'd you think about that? I don't know, Ryan. What'd you think? I don't know, Raymond. Hey, you know what? I'm gonna go put this right here on the bookshelf, right? Come on, Paul. I even signed it for you. Wasn't Dad great? Here you go. Right there, so I can see it on TV every night. Look at that. That's perfect. There you go. Wherever fine books are sold.